Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Well, good morning, everybody. And good morning to all our online viewers this morning. It's so wonderful to be able to worship together as a church family, as a church community. And it's the final weekend of the school holidays. Wow. And a lot of our students and kids are so excited to go to school tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's just no zero enthusiasm from the kids. The parents are so excited that tomorrow the kids are going back to school. Fantastic. That is so good. And I really hope that you've had wonderful memories with your families, with your children, especially over the summer holidays. I want to thank you as well for praying for us, for those of you who were aware of that. I actually took a team to Thailand a few weeks ago. Thank you so much for your prayer. We really felt the prayer of God's people. None of us got sick the whole time we were there. Now, it's the worst thing when you're leading a team and someone gets sick and they're unable to participate in any of the ministries that we were doing. But none of us got sick and the whole team gelled together and we worked so well together. So it was fantastic. So thank you for your prayers. Now, this morning, I'd like to start off because we have children here in our church gathering this morning. I just want to do a bit of a Q&A to have a bit of review. And many of them are busy coloring, and I wonder if the chocolate bars would get their attention. All right? Okay, so I just have three questions for you, children, and maybe not so young. What was our topic on the very first summer Sunday? We had a guest speaker, remember? What was he talking about? David the what? Yell it out. Yes. Oh, wow. David the shepherd. You have a chocolate. Ready? Catch it. Yeah. Wonderful. Let's give him a big hand. What's your name?
Jacob.
You were really listening then. Fantastic. Congratulations. This one. You ready? What did David use to kill the giant Goliath?
A slingshot.
And what?
A stone.
How many stones? No. Only one hit his head, though. Yeah. Slingshot. Well done. Another Jacob there. What's with the Jacob? That's another Jacob and then another Jacob. Smart kids. All right, last one. Last one. On the third summer Sundays, we had a female guest speaker, well known to our church family. What was her name? What was her name? Wait, where's that? Where's that voice coming from? Kathy who? That's enough. All right, can you give this to the little girl there that answered? Yay! Okay, a big hand. Wow. That's good, and I think it's good to have a bit of a review, especially the summer Sundays was about 5 weeks. A lot of people thought that it finished last Sunday, but today is the final of our summer Sundays, and it is such a privilege for me to conclude our series on the story and the life of David. We have been exploring David's life for the last four weeks, and I am confident that we have probably learned a lot about his character and his nature and his love for God, and so this morning, I'll be speaking on David the worshiper with a special, particular focus and attention to obedience. Now, everyone is a worshiper, whether you are aware of it or not. Some people worship wealth, power, beauty, influence, fame, popularity. Others worship Buddha. They worship Muhammad or Allah, or they worship creation or nature, the animistic people, and some people worship God. Our passage this morning, I hope that will kind of inform us in this aspect of worship and obedience. So if you have your Bibles with you, open it to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and it's quite long, so please bear with me. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 9, and then jump into 11 to 16. Here it is. David again brought together all the able men, young men of Israel, 30,000 of them, he and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up the ark of God, which is called by the name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nakun, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Wow, that's pretty serious. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. When we talk about worship, our attention straight away zoned into King David. Now, ancient documents have been found along the Qumran caves in Palestine that claims that David actually wrote about 4,000 songs. But contrary to people's understanding about David, a lot of people thought or think and believe that David wrote the entire book of Psalms. But actually, according to scholars, as they investigated, out of the 150 Psalms, David only wrote about 75 of them that is linked to him as his original Psalms. Our passage opens with David leading a massive army to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Abinadab. And David knew that Israel would never be where they needed to be without the Lord. They will never be where they needed to be until the Ark of the Covenant will be restored back in Jerusalem and make it as the centerpiece of Israelite worship and everyday life. This Ark was vital to the worship of Israel. It was symbolic of God's presence among his people. In fact, it was often carried into battle right in front of the battalion or the army. They have the Ark of the Covenant of God marching as the very first as they approach or go into war. You see, back in the days of Eli, about 75 years earlier than this, the Ark had been taken by the Philistines, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And the whole time that the ark was with the Philistines, the Lord punished the whole time that the ark was with them. Why was that? While the Philistines were in possession of the ark, if this ark represents the very presence and protection of God, why were the Philistines being punished, possessing the ark of God? Well, simply because the solution and the way that they actually retrieved and carried the ark was that they put the ark on a new cart. That was not God's instruction. So in a way, there were already something went wrong in the way that they handled and the way they carried the ark of the covenant. And so that caused them so much distress and punishment from the Lord. So this morning from our passage, I would like to share with you three aspects, significant aspects between the relationship between worship and obedience. Three significant aspects between the relationship of worship and obedience. The first aspect is that we need to examine the desires of our heart. Examining the desires of our hearts. David's desire was holy, it was honest, and it was humble. When you first think of David, do you remember him as the warrior, the victorious one that killed the giant Goliath? Or do you remember David as the humble shepherd or the poet? Or do you remember David as a man who committed adultery against Bathsheba? Or do you remember David as with his failures as a father? How do you remember David? And I think the greater question is this: how does God remember David? And the answer is given in Acts chapter 13, where Paul quotes God as saying that the Lord loved David because he was a man after God's own heart. That's how God remembers David. He was a man after God's own heart. There's something about David. David cared about the things of God. David hated the things that God hated. David loved the things that God loved. That's why God remembers him as somebody, as a person, as a king who's after his own heart. Now, David knew that Israel had drifted away, especially during the reign of King Saul, and God was no longer the centerpiece of their lives. God was no longer, as this Yahweh was no longer the centerpiece of their worship. And so David's desire, as recorded here in 2 Samuel chapter 6, is that he wanted to bring back the Ark of the Covenant so that God will be put back in the right place of Israel worship, so that God will be placed back as the centerpiece of their lives. That's the purpose why David wanted to do that. That was the desire of David's heart. It was simple. It was clear. He just wants the ark returned to its place as the centerpiece of devotion over all Israel. He wants to see God placed back at the national consciousness of God's people. David had no ulterior motives when he embarked on this journey. He was not after glory or power. He was already king. He was already in position. He wasn't after any of that. His desire was just to bring back the Ark of the Covenant of God. David knew within his heart that without the power and the presence of God in their lives, they will never amount to nothing. They will never amount to something. They will not have any of the blessings that God has promised. And so David needed to do this. You see, that's a very important thing to reflect on. If we were to examine what is really the desire of your heart, do you desire God to be the centerpiece of your life? Even we can ask the question, is God the centerpiece of your life, or have you drifted away so far that he is no longer at the center, or God is just in the periphery of your lives? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today must be written in your hearts." You know, sometimes when we think of worship, we think so much of this, the gathering, but it is not just about the gathering. It is about the desiring the presence of God. Let me say that again. Worship is not just about the gathering, although there's so much benefit when we hear everyone worshiping together, when we see everyone lifting up their hands and praying to the Lord. That is such an amazing thing. In fact, in the book of Psalms, it says how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters come together in unity. There is power in that, but it is not just about the gathering. Let me share with you this morning, it is about the desiring the presence of God. You can lift up your hands, you can sing the right words, but if the desires of your heart is not genuinely, truly about God, our worship is meaningless. It's not just about the gathering, it's about the desiring of the presence of God. You see, God desires people that worship Him. God desires people that places Him at the center of their lives in worship. And so as we approach God as a holy God with honesty and humility of heart, and out of that deep desiring in our hearts flows acts of service, that is what God wants to see among His people. A.W. Tozer said, God wants worshipers first. Jesus did not redeem us to make us workers. He redeemed us to make us worshipers. And then out of the blazing worship of our hearts springs forth, comes out, flows out works of service. Amen? Amen. That is such a beautiful thing. Examine the desires of your heart. The second significant aspect about the relationship between worship and obedience is obedience to God's commands. You see, there's a section here that David actually ignored God's command, made faulty decisions, and executed the wrong method in bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was built at the command of God. There was very clear instruction in Exodus 25. This box was overlaid with pure gold. It was topped by golden grate called the mercy seat. And on each side of the mercy seat were two golden cherubims. It was carefully designed. And inside the ark were the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the two tablets of stone of the law that was given to Moses are contained inside this ark. And it is through these symbols, and it was through this ark that God promised to meet with His people. It was here that the blood of the atonement was placed on the Day of Atonement. It was here that the Shekinah glory of God rested as the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness. God's abiding presence, cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, represented the Shekinah glory of God. And as they marched and made their way, this was a representation of God's presence among them. So David's motive in bringing the ark back to Jerusalem was proper. It was a good thing to do. It was a noble project as a king. But his methods were faulty. And so instead of being successful, David's method actually of transporting the ark resulted in the death of Uzzah. Why? Because the way that David executed and carried the ark was exactly the same way that the Philistines carried the ark. It was through a cart, when in fact the instruction of God is this, that this ark of the covenant that represents my presence has to be carried on the shoulders, and not just any shoulder, shoulders of a Levite called the Kohathites. They're called, they're the priest tribe, the priestly tribe of Israel. They are the only ones who has the capacity and been given the authority to carry the ark. And yet David followed the Philistines. Oh, yep, that'll do. Okay, let's go. Put it on a cart, and off they go. And of course, when the oxen stumbled, Uzzah reached out. Isn't it a good thing? And you would think that, wow, what a noble thing to do so that the ark will not fall down and everything and its contents will be spread all over the ground. That was such a noble thing for Uzzah to do. And yet, the Lord struck him, and he died beside the ark. Why was that? And as I was reflecting on that text, and I go, that's not fair. That is not fair, God. Why? He was doing a good thing. You could be doing the good thing, but if the very good thing that you're doing is outside of God's command, is outside of God's principles, is outside of God's order, there are consequences. And in this case, it was a very serious consequence. Why? Because no human being can ever touch the holiness of God. No human being can ever touch the holiness of God. And so for Uzzah to reach out and touch the holiness of God, he paid the greatest price. He died on the spot. And this angered David. This really angered David. But you see, this is not about the vengeance of God. This is about the character of God, because he is a God of justice and righteousness and holiness, and also God of mercy and compassion. And sometimes we can actually just go the other way, and we don't talk about the justice and the holiness and the righteousness of God. Let's just talk about the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God here. No, if we do that, we are not actually appropriating the full gospel. Amen? If we only focus on this one side, the full gospel and the full counsel of God is that we hold both of these together. The righteousness, the holiness, and the justice of God, as well as the compassion and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. And we need to hold both together, not just one over the other. And this is exactly what happened here. And so David was angry, and he realized, oh man, I've done the wrong thing here. I was not following God's instruction. I was not obedient to the instruction of God as to how the Ark of the Covenant that represented his very presence should be carried back to Jerusalem. He was angry. And then he goes, I don't want it. I don't want it. He doesn't want the Ark of God. Oh, maybe he felt like, oh, this is really, really dangerous territory. I don't want it. And so Obed-Edom opened his heart and go, I want it. I will have it. And so Obed-Edom welcomed the Ark of the Covenant of God. And for 3 months, his household was blessed. Obed-Edom's household was blessed because of the presence of the Ark of the Covenant of God. And then David heard about it. He goes, oh, my goodness, Obed-Edom is like progressing and prospering. But why is that? And then he was told, oh, because the Ark of Yahweh is there in their possession. Then he changed his mind. He said, I'm going to go and get it. Let's go get it. Isn't that incredible? David said, let's go get it. And so instead of fearing the Lord, David had this recognition of the power of God. You see, Deuteronomy 6:13 says, fear the Lord your God and serve him only. Take your oaths in his name. We need to be obedient to what God is asking us to do. I remember when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights before he started his public ministry, and he was praying and fasting and communing with his Father. The enemy came and Satan tempted him 3 times, and by the third temptation, it has something to do with worship. Satan said, I will give all of this to you if you worship me, if you bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus say to him? Go away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so the change of heart from David is that he wanted that the focus now of his people and himself would just be the worship of God and Yahweh and serve him only. Are you willing to obey God's command and follow his will and purpose for your life? You see, the Bible is full of God's promises, God's command for life and service. We don't need to have any worldly ideologies and thinking and worldly wisdom to tell us how we should live our lives and what to do. It is here fully revealed in his word, through his Holy Spirit in our hearts, and in Jesus Christ, who is a full expression of God's love for humanity. Are you willing to obey God regardless of the costs? I was reflecting on this aspect of obedience in my life, and I remember when God called Janelle and I to go to Zambia and serve him there. It was a big decision for us because it meant that Janelle had to resign from her very stable job working as a teacher at a grammar school. It meant that I have to give up being a pastor of the church and go on step of faith with no guarantee of support. And our friends were saying to us, how are you going to eat, Jonathan? How are you going to live? And yet we felt so strongly that that was what God was calling us to do, and we were prepared to obey, and we gave up everything, and we went. And that experience has really solidified our sense of trust in the Lord, because out of that experience, we have experienced personally the provision of God, the protection of God, and the faithfulness of God in our lives that we would have never experienced if we stayed in Australia. Amen. That is obedience, and there is a price to pay with obedience. That takes us to the third significant aspect of the relationship between worship and obedience. The third is about wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord. You see, if you read our passage, you can see that there was a 180 turn in David's life. There was a change in his attitude, there was a change in his approach, and there was a change in his action as a response to the Ark of the Covenant of God. At first, he was afraid. He doesn't want the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, you can have it, Obed-Edom. I don't want it. And there was a change of heart in David. Why? Because he knew that a clean heart and a pure life had nothing to fear from the Lord. If you live an honest, pure life, you have nothing to fear from the Lord. And so David had this 180-degree turn. And he went and reached out to Obed-Edom and said, I want to take the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and this time we're going to do it right. We will ask Levites to carry it on their shoulders. We will march, and after six steps, we will stop, put it down, and offer a sacrifice. Can you imagine? That would take so long. And yet that was part of God's command. All right, finish with the sacrifice. Okay, carry on your shoulders, walk six steps, five, six, stop, put it down, let's offer a sacrifice until they reach Jerusalem. David realized that there are no shortcuts to the presence of God. There are no shortcuts to holiness. There are no shortcuts to obedience. There are no shortcuts to worship. You follow God's instruction. And so this wholehearted commitment and devotion to the Lord, this change of attitude, the change of approach, and the change of his action actually brought blessing to the people of Israel. Why? Because God, through the Ark of the Covenant, was put back as the centerpiece of Israel's worship. Yahweh was back at the centerpiece of Israel's worship. And so, of course, David's response was one of joy, was one of overwhelming worship. I think he gave up singing and took up dancing. Because he was dancing. And I look at that, and I look at that particular text, and I realize, and the Bible says David was wearing a linen ephod. And by common understanding within the churches and the Christian faith, the linen ephod is like a loincloth, and David was half naked. Actually, it's not like that. Scholars have actually authenticated that David, the linen ephod, was a Levite robe that he put on. He took off his kingly robe and put on a linen ephod in order to demonstrate that God is sovereign, that God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Yes, he is the King of Israel, but he was prepared to take it all off and wear this humble linen ephod to demonstrate that God, through the Ark, Yahweh, is above him. And so when the Ark was entering Jerusalem, there was joy because the people knew, wow, this is going to be good time. And of course, they burst into worship, and David entered, lead the procession, dancing, leaping, jumping before the Lord with so much joy. You see, when your heart is wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord, and you have seen and experienced his goodness and his faithfulness in your life, the natural response is one of joy and gratitude. Amen. One of thanksgiving, that you will just burst in thanksgiving because of God's faithfulness in your life. That was what happened to David. But guess what? There is consequence for disobedience. Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out from her window and saw David dancing like an idiot. According to her, You know, the word she despised her in her despised him in her heart was actually saying, David, what are you doing? It's like if you put language in his, she despised him in his in her heart, you could say, maybe Michal was saying to herself, what a stupid thing to do for a king. And the consequence of that attitude of contempt, you read the text, was barrenness for the rest of her life. You might think, oh man, God, you are so brutal. But that's exactly what happened to Michal. Why? Because there are, just as there is a blessing in obedience, there are serious consequences in disobedience. And so we need to check the motivation of our heart. Are we wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord? Are we obedient to His will and purpose in our lives? What is it that beats your heart? What is it? Is your heart beating of the things of God? Are you fully committed to Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as the Lord of your family, as the Lord of your workplace, as the Lord of your community, as the Lord of our church? Are you fully devoted to that? And when I think about wholehearted devotion, I can't stop but think, and drift takes me back again to our time in Zambia when I went to the Livingston Museum in Victoria Falls. And you see there, and David Livingston was a missionary doctor whose heart was fully devoted in serving the Lord and the people of Africa. And when the time came that he died, David Livingston's request was that, you can take my body back to England, but please remove my heart and bury it here in Africa, because this is where my heart is. When we talk about wholehearted devotion, that was what David Livingston did. A very tangible demonstration of his devotion to his God and devotion to the people that God had called him to serve. Where is your heart this morning? We do not have the actual physical ark of the Lord like the Israelites, but we have the spiritual ark. Why? Because Jesus is the promise of the new covenant, and His Holy Spirit lives with us. In other words, we carry this ark. We carry this very presence of God everywhere we go. And as we do that, let's desire to put God as the centerpiece of our lives. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads together. As we pause and as we reflect, let me just prompt you with these questions. What and who is the object of your worship? What and where do you spend most of your time on? And is God the center of your life? Loving Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for the lessons that we have learned through the life of David. And Lord, I pray that you will prompt us to learn more about that aspect of obedience, Lord, because I know, myself included, we struggle about that every single day through the different circumstances that we face. But Father, this morning, we ask, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, you will cleanse us, you will forgive us, that we stand before you, Lord, not condemned, but redeemed. We stand before you, Lord, not judged, but saved because of what Jesus have done for us at the cross. And so, Father, I pray that you will prevent us from having an attitude of contempt towards you, towards your word, towards your people, towards worship. Help us, Lord, to stand before you with humility of heart. And may we grow and learn to love you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.